Our service begins in your prayer book on page 355. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name. For you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, ran to the ranks, and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is read in unison, Psalm 9, verses 9 through 20. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you never forsake those who seek you, O Lord. Sing praise to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim to the peoples the things he has done. The avenger of blood will remember them. He will not forget the cry of the afflicted. Have pity on me, O Lord. See the misery I suffer from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gate of death, so that I may tell of all your praises and rejoice in your salvation in the gates of the city of Zion. The ungodly have fallen into the pit they dug, and in the snare they set is their own foot caught. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are trapped in the works of their own hands. The wicked shall be given over to the grave, and also all the peoples that forgot God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Rise up, Lord, let not the ungodly have the upper hand. Let them be judged before you. Put fear upon them, O Lord. Let the ungodly know there are but thorns.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. As we work together with Christ, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is widely open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jim and Bob were in a small group that met together after church on Sundays. It was a group of men, and most of them had either been through a painful divorce or were going through it at the time. They became a source of great strength and support for one another, and they agreed that everything they said in the group would be confidential. They were able to open their hearts in a way that many of them had never experienced before. Being men, they had tried to be strong and had often not spoken about their feelings. So they came to really value the time that they had together every week after church. One evening, Jim ran into Bob's ex-wife at the grocery store. They got to talking and laughing, joking around and having a good time, and she said, "Jim, you should come over to my house for dinner sometime." He thought about it for a moment. "I really like to do that," he said. And they agreed on a time. Jim thought to himself, "I'm just not going to tell Bob about this because it'll really hurt his feelings, and it's not a big deal. We're just having dinner, a few laughs. I don't want to disrupt our group. So after church on Sunday, when they got together, he said he had met a lady, but he didn't say her name. And all of the guys were so glad because he was so shy, and they knew he was lonely, and Bob patted him on the back. "I'm so glad for you, bud," he said. Jim left the group, and he felt like a storm was brewing. He went to dinner with Bob's ex-wife, and they had a lot of fun. And he thought to himself, "I'm not going to tell Bob this week, but maybe later." And the storm kept brewing and brewing. And Jim did nothing about it. No one wanted to face Goliath, the Philistine. He was a monster. He was so big that the scripture spends all this time describing his physique. How tall he was, the bronze helmet he wore, his shield bearer. The guy was massive. And he came out in front of the army of Israel and said, "We can spare a lot of blood and a lot of time if one of you is brave enough to face me. And if you kill me, then the Philistines will all be your servants. But if I kill you, then you all must serve us." The Israelites are terrified. And so what do? Nothing. They stand there like fools. No one volunteers for days. And the more they don't volunteer, the more frightened and silly they look. And every day, Goliath seems to grow bigger. David was just a boy. He had never fought in a war. He was sent to the battlefield to bring food to his brothers. But he sees his countrymen standing there in shame, and he can't stand it. "I'll fight him," the boy says. "I'll do it. I will walk out there in front of that monster, and I will fight him myself." The Israelites say, "You can't. You've never been in battle." "Oh, I've fought lions, and I've fought bears," David says. You can just picture this little boy boasting. So they dress him up in Saul's armor. They put all this heavy stuff on him. They give him a shield. And David says, "I can't walk. I don't think this is going to work if I can't walk." So he takes it all off. It's very important to know that David goes to face the monster by being himself. David figures out what he's good at, not what other people think he should do or how anybody else would fight, but he finds out what he knows well, and that's what he does. David goes to a wadi, a little pool, stream of water, where he gets 5 small stones. Smooth stones made smooth by the water, and he puts them in his pouch. And then he walks out into that field to face this giant. And the giant laughs at him. But David continues to look right into the face of that giant. And taking his stone, he uses a little slingshot that he's made, and he slings a rock which goes right into Goliath's forehead. And with a crash, Goliath falls. Why is it that most of us are afraid to face our monsters in life? Most of us are like those Israelites. We think, oh, this is scary. I don't want to deal with this right now. Like Jim, I'm not going to tell Bob because, man, it'll be a mess. It'll hurt his feelings. So he doesn't face the mess that he's made because his Goliath exists on so many levels. On the one hand, he doesn't want to face the disappointment of his friend. On the other hand, he doesn't want to face the disappointment of this woman and his own disappointment if he breaks it off. But even worse than that, he doesn't want to face who he is, that he might be willing to abandon a friendship for some romance. We're all afraid to face conflict in this life, all of us. We usually do whatever we can to get out of it, to pretend it's not there, to do something else. I don't want to go to the doctor, even though I don't feel well, because, gosh, I don't want to face what the doctor might say. I know I'm unhappy in my job, but if I just get through this year, maybe it'll get better. I certainly don't want to admit how much I hate it, because then I'd have to go look for another one. Where are your Goliaths? Where are your storms in life? If you think you can live without facing them, you're wrong. Goliath only gets bigger when you try to ignore him. The disciples were afraid. They were in a boat, and there was a storm, and Jesus was fast asleep. I feel so sorry for Jesus. He must have been so exhausted to be asleep in the middle of a storm in a boat. You know that he was sleep deprived. The disciples are terrified, but at least they have the wisdom to ask Jesus for help. And Jesus does exactly what David does. He stands up and he looks at the storm, right at it. And he speaks right to it. Peace, he says. Peace, be still. I have a very wise friend. When she gets into the office, she's a priest. When she gets into the office in the morning, she always makes the hardest, worst phone call first. You know the one that you want to avoid, because the person you call is going to be either grumpy or mad at you. And so if you're like me, you make all the phone calls with the people you love, the people who are going to be nice to you and say how wonderful you are. And then, oh, by golly, you ran out of time. And you couldn't call back Mrs. McGillicuddy, who's mad, but you'll do it later and later and later. Meanwhile, she gets more and more mad, stewing because you're not calling her back. Trying to avoid conflict in this life is like trying to walk between the raindrops. You run away from it, and it gets only worse. So where are your storms? Where are they? Is your Goliath that you're aging and you don't want to admit it? Or is your Goliath that your marriage doesn't seem to have any life in it anymore? Or you hate to admit it, but your child seems unhappy and you don't want to look at that? Where are your storms? They are there. And the only way is to face them, look at them, and then find out how you alone, what is your way of dealing with them? What are your five stones? Are you a good writer? Can you talk about it? How can you face Goliath? We have a special visitor with us today, the Suffragan Bishop of Peru, Bishop Mike Chapman. In his diocese, the people are hungry for Christianity. He told me this morning that they started 11 churches in a year and a half. 11. But most of his people face a great giant called poverty. And that Goliath is massive. So he comes to us gathering resources, donations, prayers, so that he can go back and fight the giant and spread the gospel. And it's hard work. It's hard work to pick up that telephone and make the call that you don't want to make. It's hard work to talk to your friend about the way that they've been treating you, and you know that what you say is going to upset them. It's hard work to call someone accountable for behavior that is not healthy or wise. But if we don't stand up and face these things, they only escalate in size and magnitude. So when you face your storms, I want you to remember little David. He didn't think that it was he who was going into battle. He thought it was God who fought. And he was God's servant. And so he walks out there, the odds stacked against him, and looks Goliath right in the face. I'll tell you a secret. It's a secret that you can keep with you. Whenever you face conflict, whenever you have to do something that you don't want to do, the secret makes you incredibly powerful, wise, and not afraid. It's very simple. Jesus knew it when he stood up in the boat. The battle is already won. You've already won. God has won it for you. There is nothing to be afraid of. So with that knowledge, walk out into your life and look at your problems straight in the eye, in the name of Christ. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. The creed is found on page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers of the people are found in your bulletin.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort them and give them strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral that we may serve you here in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over this city that there may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to our broken world, that there may be greater understanding among races and peoples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to care for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to bless all who have died and comfort those who mourn for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our needs and those of others.
Father, give us the courage and strength to face the problems and difficulties of our lives, to look at them head on in full confidence that you will be there with us. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. The confession of sin is found on page 360. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Welcome, everyone. Please be seated. We're so glad you're here with us today. If you're new or visiting, there is a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we will send you our e-newsletter. And we also have tours that leave from the entrance of the church if you want to learn more about this beautiful facility. Bishop, would you come forward? Let us welcome Bishop Mike Chapman. We We were blessed to find out this week that he could be with us, and he travels an enormous amount. You live out of your car, you said. Yes. Thank you for being here with us.
Is that on? Maybe I turned it the wrong way. Have you heard me snoring up there at all?
It's okay.
Yes, it's true. We do live out of our car. When we get to Peru, we still live out of our car, even though we have an apartment in Ica in the desert. As the dean has told you, we have 11 missions that have formed over the last year and a half. All of that came out of the 8.0 earthquake in 2007. But work in the field to planting churches did not start until the very end, December 2009, and we picked up and traveled from there. We go into the mountains. Our region is a five-state region. We grow from sea level to 15,000 plus feet in the air. And I want to tell you, that hurts. Every time we go in the mountains, we get altitude sickness. We work among a group of people that are not only the poorest people in South America, but they are also a people that are living 500 years in our past. If you go there, you will see things that you won't believe. You will see not only incredible poverty that is very disarming because they don't dress like poor people. They make all of their clothes out of alpaca hair with great color and with great pomp and circumstances, but they don't have the food to put in their mouths or the shelter to keep them from the severe weather. So when we go up there and we proclaim the gospel, this is what they say to us. They say, "Who are you Anglicans?" They know the answer to the question because we're standing in front of them. But they say, "Who are you Anglicans? You come and you preach the gospel. You heal our sick. And you help us lift ourselves out of our poverty. Who are you Anglicans?" Our job is to proclaim the gospel, to heal the sick. We've seen Parkinson's, we've seen MS, we've seen cancer, we've seen tumors, we've seen every disease on the planet healed among a group of people that can't afford and usually don't see any kind of medical help that we have. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we do such a thing when we could live here? I'm a native Floridian. How many native Floridians are here? Native. All right. I knew if I came to Florida, I'd find some. I was born in Miami, and I came to a knowledge of the Lord in Gainesville, Florida. I was a surfer. I never came here because the locals in Volano Beach are so difficult to surf with. But I did spend a lot of time in St. Augustine. And I'm here to tell you now that the gospel that you heard today, there are giants everywhere in your life and in mine. But God is more powerful. And how dare them say that the people of God cannot do what God has called them to do? I look forward to talking to you in the coffee hour. Thank you.
Amen. If you would like to make a donation to the Diocese of Peru, you can make a check out to the cathedral and just put Peru in the memo section. We'll gather it all up and give it to him. We also have people here that went on the medical mission trip to Peru. Would you stand up? I see you, Larry. Who else is here? Are the Jamesons here? A few of you just got back, so thank you all for all that you've done, and they are good people to ask with questions, too. Speaking of giving, the blood mobile is here, and if you're able-bodied, go on out after you eat something at coffee hour. Go on out and donate some blood, because we're always in need of that here. This evening we have an Ultrea, which is a gathering for people who have been to Curcio. Curcio is a weekend retreat. If you've either been to Curcio or are interested in going, you're welcome this evening. It's a covered dish supper and a service at 5. We have a leadership breakfast this Thursday, and if you're interested in that, please call the church. And we have a couple of wonderful things that have happened. Number one, We have someone who is graduating from EFM. EFM is Education for Ministry. It's a four-year program in which they study the Old and New Testaments, theology, and church history. It's run out of the University of the South, and Mary Lee Pappas is going to be graduating today. So would you come up with your classmates? By the way, her husband, Ted Pappas, is a brilliant architect who's been helping us think about renovations around here, so we're so blessed to have both of you. And an EFM graduate himself. Let us pray. O God, the source of all knowledge and enlightenment, we are gathered here today to ask your blessing on Mary Lee Pappas, who has completed 4 years of study. Now we ask your blessing on her as she undertakes the ministry for which she has been prepared. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, Mary Lee, that in all this and in all things you may do God's will in the service of the kingdom and of his Christ. Amen. In the name of the congregation, I commend you to this work and pledge you in our prayers and encourage you and support you. Bless you. Here is your beautiful diploma. Yay! Yay! And Bishop, would you come back for a minute? Since we have a bishop in hand, we had people paint icons this week, and they need to be blessed. Icon writers, you want to come forward? Aren't they beautiful? They're of the Trinity and of the face of Christ. I have a special prayer, Bishop. Would you give them an Episcopal blessing?
Let us pray. Creating God, you fashioned the universe in love and brought us forth from the earth. Throughout the ages, our ancestors longed to see your face, and when the time had grown full, you sent your Christ among us so that we might find our way back to you, our source and our destiny. Look forward upon your servants here and upon these icons, created in love and prayer. Fill them with the radiance of your good, holy, and life-giving spirit, to complete the work of your hands for your glory and for the good of those who will come to pray before them. May these icons be a source of blessing and hope for your people. May they give comfort and challenge complacency, and may they proclaim your infinite love for us in every situation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for your beautiful work. Can we keep them up here for communion? Okay, thank you. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Hallelujah! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace. Hallelujah!
My brothers and sisters, these are the gifts of God for you, his people. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. This is the Bible. Thank you.
post-communion prayer is found on page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace,
and grant us strength and courage, love and service, with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ.
Go forth in the name of Christ.